Masechet Pesachim has been dedicated by Mr. Ike J. Shehebar in honor of his grandparents, Mr. Ike and Jeanette Beebe. We bless Mr. Ike Shehebar, who's been a sponsor of the Daf Yomi for many days. They should continue to enjoy success, health, and happiness. May his grandparents also enjoy much nachat from him as well as all their grandchildren, and may they only share in simachot for the entire family. Amen.
Daf Mem Tet. Today's daf is being dedicated to Le'ilu Nishmat Victoria Bat Zarifeh. Today is her yahrzeit. Ruach Hashem Tanihena Began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied Le'ilu Nishmat Rachel Bat Shulamit. Sheneftered b'kitzur yamin v'shanim, hayotzeit also is today. Ruach Hashem tanichena began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied by the Neshmat Acham Baruch, Rafael ben Miriam, and Abraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem tanichem began Eden. Amen. We are starting at the Mishnah on daf Mem Chet Amud Bet. It is 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 lines from the bottom, and the Mishnah starts, Si'ur Yisaref. Now, Si'ur should not be misconstrued for Se'or. Se'or is a leavening agent, which the Torah clearly says is asur to eat on Pesach, and if somebody eats it, it's punishable by Karet. Our Mishnah says Si'ur. That is dough that is starting the Chimutz process, but did not yet fully become Chametz. So now the Mishnah says, Yisaref. The deen is that you have to burn it. And the Mishnah will explain. But if somebody eats this si'ur, patur. Meaning he's patur from karet, and he's also patur from malkut. So now the Mishnah explains, siduk, which means if you have a dough that reaches a certain stage, that you start to see sedakim. Sedakim is like cracks in the top of the dough, and the dough itself, you set it. Then already that's a sign of chimutz. You have to burn it. And if somebody eats chametz that has sedakim, it's considered full-fledged chametz, and if it's going to be hayav karet. Ezehu si'ur. Also, then what is si'ur? Si'ur obviously is not sedakim, because the sedakim is already full-fledged. So what is si'ur? So the Gemara says, Kekarne hagabim, where you have cracks or lines starting to form on the dough itself, like the antenna of grasshoppers, which means they're not attached to each other yet. They're just, you know, lines on top of the on the dough itself. Siduk. Also, now what is siduk? Which you tell me is full fledged. Shinit arbu sedakim zebaze. They're crisscrossing each other. See, the lines now are touching each other and attached to each other. So that's the first opinion. Si'ur is going to be where you have lines on top of the chametz, like karnei hagabim, like the antenna of a grasshopper, right? Some lines. Not hayav karet on such chimutz yet, or malkut. Where you have sedakim, that's more lines that are connecting to each other. That's going to be asur and hayav karet if you eat it. This is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. V'achamim omrim, achamim say, ze vaze ha'ochlo hayav karet. Achamim say, no. Whether you have a lot of siddakim that are crossing each other, or even if you have some lines like karnei hagabim, that's already hametz gamur, and you're going to be hayav karet. Ve'ezehu si'ur. Now, what is si'ur according to Hachamim? Called shechsifu panav. Shechsifu panav means the top of the dough started to become whitened. Started to become white. Ke'adam sha'amdu sa'arotav. Like a guy that's hair is standing. Meaning when a person gets scared, they say his hair stands. So therefore, what happens to his face? Face turns white in fright. So therefore, they say the same thing. That's the color of the hametz. Like a pale color. So it comes out, we have a machloket. What indeed si'ud is. is Si'ur Kaneha Gabim, that stage, or is Si'ur Hichsifu Panav? Comes the Gemara and says, Taru Rabbanan, you have a Braita on this subject. Ezehu Si'ur, what is considered Si'ur? Kosh Hichsifu Panav. So long as the top of the dough has become paled, Ke'adam Sha'amdu Sa'arotav, like a guy with hair is standing because of fear. Siduk, what is Siduk, which we say Hayav Karetan? So it says, Ke'karne Hagabim. Siduk, according to this opinion, would be Karne Hagabim once you have lines. Okay, because if you tell me that Si'ur is an earlier stage of Ichsipu Panav, so then as it gradually gets a little more Haimut, so you have Karne Hagabim, so that's going to be already Hayav Karet. Devrei Rabbi Meir. That's the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Vachamim Omrim, Ezu Si'ur Ke'karne Hagabim. They say, no, Si'ur is the Shi'ur of Kaneh Hagabim, Shiduk, Shinitarebu, Sedakim, Zebazeh, where the clines on top of the Hametz are crossing each other. Vezebazeh, and both of them that we just mentioned, Ha'okhlo, Hayav Karet. Both are punishable by Karet. The Gemara will explain what that means. Because we know in our Mishnah that that cannot sound so. So the Gemara is not going to explain this. And did we learn in our Mishnah? Si'ur yisaref va'ochlo patur devir biyuda. We just said in our Mishnah that if somebody eats si'ur, he's patur. Patur from karet. And now you just told me in this braita, zeveze hayab karet. Which is mashma that even si'ur, you're going to get karet. That's a direct hit against our Mishnah. So Gebra says no. Ema lirabi meir. Which means, when you go back to that braita, and that braita says, "V'hachamim omrim ezu si'ur kekane hagabim siduk shnitarbu sedakim." When it says "zevaze hayav karet," it's according to Rabbi Meir, which is going back on the first opinion, which is the first opinion already said that si'ur is echsifu panav. So therefore, once you get to Kaneh Hagabim, that's already Hametz. So Kaneh Hagabim, Kotshekin, Siduk, where there's Nitarevu, certainly there's a Karet. So therefore, the Braita that says Zeva Zebe Karet is saying, this stage of Kaneh Hagabim, according to the first opinion of Bimeir, would be subject to Karet. Because according to him, that is indeed Hametz Gamur. Amar Abba, Maita Amma, Dere Bimeir, which means, why does Rabbi Meir say that if you have like Kaneh Hagabim, you have these thin lines on top of the Hametz, why does he call that Siduk? Siduk, really, it's the smashma that well, it's full-fledged Hametz. How can it be just because you have a couple of lines on top? Is that full-fledged Hametz? So the Gemara says, what about my time at Rabbi Meir? So he says, Ein lecha kol tzedek v'tzedek melemala, which means you just see some lines on top, but that's an indication underneath the hametz as well, and the dough itself, there's also hamutz taking place, and therefore from the top you're able to see what's going on underneath, and therefore it is a good indicator of hamutz. So basically what you have to remember from this Mishnah over here, so look at what si'ud is, and based on the machloket what si'ud is, it's the machloket on what siduk is. Everybody agrees in terminologies in the sense that Si'ud is not Hametz yet. And everybody agrees Siduk is Hametz yet. And everybody agrees Si'ud is no Karet. And everybody agrees Siduk, there is Karet. Machloket is, what is it? And therefore, according to the Bimeir, Si'ud is at an earlier stage. Nichsefu Panav. And therefore, Siduk would be, the next stage is Kaneh Hagabim. And already at that stage there is Hayuv Karet. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda will tell you, no. Si'ur begins at a later stage. Si'ur begins at Kaneh Hagabim, Patun Mekaret. Siduk already is Nitarbu, Zebazeh. The lines already are crossing each other, and that would be considered Hayuv Karet. And now we start the new Mishnah on Mem Tet. Arba'a Asar Shechal Liyot B'Shabbat. Now we talk about the 14th of Nisan, Erev Pesach, which is the normal day that we burn the Hametz. Let's say that day falls out on Shabbat. So what are you going to do? Are you going to burn the Hametz on Shabbat? So it says, Mevarin et hakol melefnei Shabbat, Zevin Erev Meir. Meir says, you burn everything from Erev Shabbat. from Friday. Whether it's regular chametz chodin or whether it's teruma, and all you leave is enough bread that you need for the Sirudah Shabbat. Meaning you have a Friday night, Shabbat morning, three Sirudot, Shabbat afternoon, finished, that's it. Everything else, but you get rid of from before. That's the first opinion. V'achamim omrim, bismando. Hachamim say no. You keep as much chametz as you want, and you get rid of it. Obviously you don't burn it on Shabbat, but you dispose of it on Shabbat. Because they say you can still eat it. Why do you have to get rid of it? Maybe you'll have people to eat the chametz, and therefore you don't have to save the minimum amount. You could save as much as you want and dispose of it. There's no meaning on Erev Pesach at the time of the Bi'ur, even though it's Shabbat. Rabbi Raisa Bevi Sadok Omer Teruma Melechta Shabbat Vechonin Bezmanam. Rabbi Sadok may say Chinuk. He says Teruma, you have to dispose of before Shabbat. And she says why? Sheni Yachol Achira Lo Lezarim Lo Lebehemot Zarim. Because the Israel got no purpose with the Teruma. He can't eat the Teruma, nor can he feed the Teruma to the his animals, with a shota iifshar, and therefore he can't leave it, right? You gotta get rid of it before Pesach. So therefore, get rid of it already from Friday. Aval cholin el tzarich levayir ela bezmano sheyacholim sodaim ochlim arbe. But cholin is still edible. So therefore, eat it. She's tiruma anyway. Like, what could you do it on Shabbat? Can't do anything on Shabbat. So therefore, get rid of it from already Friday. But cholin, since like we said, it's edible. Therefore, get rid of it on Shabbat itself. Whatever you did not finish eating, you get rid of it on Shabbat. So those are the opinions of the Mishnah. Comes the Gemara to Tanya. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Sadok Omer, Pam Achat, Shabbat Abba B'Yavneh. One time, my father, Rabbi Sadok, spent Shabbat in Yavneh. V'chal Arba Asa Liyot V'Shabbat. And the 14th fell out on Shabbat, like our Mishnah's case. Uba Zunin, and a fellow by the name of Zunin came, Mimuneh Shel Rabban Gamliel. He was the appointee of Rabban Gamliel, Ve'amar, and he said, Higiya et ba'er et ha'chametz. He said, okay, Rabotai, it's the time to get rid of the chametz. Ve'alachti achar Abba, he says, and I went after my father, Ubi'anu et ha'chametz, and we got rid of the chametz. So this story is trying to bring a proof to the opinion that he said in the Mishnah. Rabbi Elazar ben Sadok said that cholin you could keep as much as you want on Shabbat. You don't have to leave the minimum of shalosh seudot. The question is really, where do you see this from the story? It's a hard proof. All Zunin did was he came to the Rabban Gamliel and said, it's the time to make bi'ur. Do we know how much chametz Rabban Gamliel left in his possession? Maybe he left three seudot. And from those three seudot, he had some leftovers. And Zunin was telling him, I gotta get rid of that. Who said that Rabban Gamliel had extra chametz? And Zunin was telling him that you have to. What's the proof of this story to the shita of the Beis HaRabbi Sadok? The Mefarshim asked this question. So the Mefarshim answer from the language that it said when he told them, Higiya et neva'er et hametz. Now's the time to get rid of the chametz. Mashma. Now's the time, not Friday, which means the time of burning or getting rid of disposing chametz is the 14th, for all chametz. And therefore, from that lashon, now's the time. If you hold like the other opinion, well, the time is really Friday. This is just, you know, another time. So therefore, from that lashon, they understood that there was no limit how much chametz you can keep, and therefore they burnt it, or that, I should say burnt, they disposed of it on that Shabbat. So that is the proof. Comes the next Mishnah. Ha'olech lishchot et pischo. Okay, a fellow is going to Yerushalayim on Erev Pesach in order to do the mitzvah of shechitat korban Pesach. Right, we know that on the olden days, on Erev Pesach, there was a mitzvah to go and bring a korban Pesach, which was slaughtered on the 14th, and then they would eat it at the seder on the night of the 15th, the subsequent night. So a person is on his way to go bring the korban Pesach, v'lamul et beno. Or let's say he's going on the way to do another mitzvah. He's going to circumcise his son. Or another mitzvah. He's going to eat the se'udah of irusin by his father-in-law. There's two stages of marriage. There's irusin and nisuin. In the olden days, they would do the irusin, which is the hatan gives the kala a ring, or a shaveh perutah, mekodeshet li. Then officially they were considered married. to the extent that they would make a souda to celebrate the irusin. They would not consummate the marriage until a year later, after the hatam would get established and have a house and earn some money. But the point is, today we do the irusin and nisuin together. But in the olden days, they would make a souda, which is soudat mitzvah, to celebrate the irusin. So again, it's another case. The guy's on the way to go make a soudat irusin by his father-in-law's house. And what happened? V'nizkar sheyesh lo chametz betoch beto. This is Erev Pesach. He remembered what? He still has chametz back in his house that he did not dispose of. But he's on the way to do a mitzvah. So the question is, does he go back? Does he continue to do the mitzvah? So the Mishnah says it depends. Im yachol la'azov le'ba'er, if he has time to go back and dispose of the chametz, v'la'azov le'mitzvato, and still go back and continue the mitzvah that he set out to do, ya'azov le'ba'er, then of course he has to go dispose of the chametz. She's the rabbis, why don't you get rid of the chametz? And since you can do both mitzvot, do both mitzvot. V'im lav, but if you can't, so then the deen is mebatelo bilibo. Which means, let's say you can't do the mitzvah. If you're going to go back, you're going to lose out on this mitzvah that you're going to do. So then the rabbis allowed you to rely on bitur chametz. Which means you say wherever you are, kal chamira diikam b'reshuti, all the chametz is in my possession, diptir, hefker kafla dara. You nullify the chametz. Okay? But they're only letting you use nullification without disposal if you're going to lose out on the mitzvah that you set out to do. Now, la'atzil min ha'nochrim, but let's say you set out to save a Jew that was taken into captivity by the goyim. Okay, let's say the captive. So you're doing a mitzvah now, right? Umin ha'nahar. Well, let's say there was a city that got inundated by a river, flooding, and therefore you're going to help the situation. Umin ha'listin, or you're helping a situation of, let's say, Jews that got held up by bandits. Umin ha'deleka, or that they're involved in a fire. Umin ha'mapolet, or a building came down and there's people in danger in the rubble. Yevatel bilibo. Then already, regardless, even if you can go back, you don't have to go back. The rabbis say, lechetachila, because this is sakana over here. Make bitul, and then continue, and go, do not stop. Go help these people that are in danger. Next case, v'lishbot shvitat harishut. Sorry, there's one more case, which means, let's say, v'lishbot shvitat harishut, let's say a person is going to make shivita. We learned in the Masechet Erubin that in order for a person to extend the area where he can walk on Shabbat, he has to establish shivita, meaning before Shabbat he goes and puts, let's say, a piece of bread or a seuda in a certain spot, and then from that spot on Shabbat he has 2,000 amot, right? So he establishes that on Friday. So let's say, from before Shabbat. Now let's say a guy's going to establish a shivita, but he needs to extend his eruv, his boundaries for a reshut. Meaning he's not because he's going to do a mitzvah, he just needs to do it, because he wants to travel for voluntary needs. So in that case, the Gemara says, Yahzor miyad. In that case, we don't care. Go back immediately. If you remember you have chametz, let's say, in your possession, as you're walking out to establish your eruv, since it's not a mitzvah, nobody's in danger over here, the thing is totally voluntary, then we'll tell you what? You immediately have to turn around under all circumstances, because there's no hetzer. Rashi does point out, however, let's say he was going to do a shivita for a mitzvah, meaning he needed to establish his boundary so he can go to a brit milah, or he can go do, let's say, another mitzvah, to go visit, let's say, a house of mourning, etc. So then already, it would have the deen of the first case of the Mishnah, where a person is going to slaughter his korban Pesach. So what do we say? If he has time to do both, then he goes back and disposes the chametz. But if he doesn't have time to do both, he'll make bitul, and he can continue on his way to make the eruv. Okay? So basically, there's three situations in the Mishnah. Voluntary items, you always go back. Mitzvah items, it depends. If you have time to do both, go back. If not, make bitul. We'll call them mandatory items, like sakana items that people are in danger. In all situations, keep on going and make bitul regardless. Now the Mishnah is going to give us another din regarding Korban Pesach, or regarding, I'm sorry, Basar Kodesh. We have a law. If you have meat of a Korban, the law is that it is not allowed to leave the walls of Jerusalem. Once the meat of Kodesh, of Korban, leaves the walls of Jerusalem, it becomes pasur. What's the deen then? You have to burn it. So now we discuss a halakha. Vechen, and so too. Mishi yatsa Yerushalayim. A guy left Jerusalem. Viriskal sheyesh biyado basar kodesh. And remember that in his hands he has basar of a korban. So now already he's out. He left Jerusalem. This meat now becomes basur. Now the deen is, what do you do with that basar? You have to burn it. And l'chatachila, you have to burn it in Yerushalayim. That's the deen, as she's going to tell us. So therefore, Mishnah says, Im avar sofim, if you passed a place called sofim, which we would call it in English scopus, sofim is a place where you're still able to see how to buy it from. If you passed sofim already, so the rabbis didn't obligate you to go all the way back to Jerusalem and burn it. They let you burn it on the spot. But if you didn't reach Scopus yet, then already we trouble you. You have to go back to Yerushalayim and you have to burn it within the walls. Look at Rashi. V'imlav chozer v'sorfo. Now she says, if you didn't pass Scopus yet, Harasofim, then what? Go back. Kedavram b'chosha, like we learned earlier, b'kodesh ba'esh t'sarif, d'bimkom achirato serifato. Now she's quoting a pasuk in the Torah that's telling me that mid'oraita you have to burn basar that became pasul, bimkom achirato. And where is the place where you eat it? In Yerushalayim. Therefore you have to go back. So it's a, according to Rashi, it sounds like it's a deoraita this deen. So Tosafot asks a very strong question on Nashi. If it's a deoraita, what do I care if he passed Sofim? The Mishnah says, if he passed Sofim, burn it in its place. What do you mean? We don't want to trouble you. I mean, it's a deoraita. You got to go back to burn it in Yerushalayim. What is this business that once you pass Sofim, lo tihu hachamim? So Tosafot, in the Dibur Matav Sorfon Efnei Abira, he says, "Perush haKutras kedamar uperikol shahav b'kodesh ba'esh yisarif b'mkom achilatos srifato v'kasher liri I mideoraitahu mali avar sofim u'mali lo avar sofim." Right, that's the question of Tosfot. V'yesh lomar, t'min haTorah yachol l'sorfa b'chol makom shirtze. So Tosfot says, no. T'min haTorah really basad if he came pasul, you can burn it wherever you want. That pasuk that she quoted was not talking about regular basar kodesh, for example, of shilamim. It was talking about, for example, let's say, korban hatat, which is kodesh kodeshim, which is on a higher level. And therefore, really basar kodesh, according to the Tosfot, you're allowed to burn it outside Yerushalayim. Oh, so why, if you didn't pass sofim, do you have to go back? The rabbis made a gezerah that even by basar kodesh go back, because if you don't go back for kodesh, you might not go back for kodesh kodeshim. That's the way Tosfot learns. In any event, the Mishnah continues. Where do you go burn it when you go back to Jerusalem? It says, lefnei abira, in front of the bira. What is bira? So Tosfot tells us, it's a machloket in Masechet Zebachim. Pelig, I'm reading Tosfot, my bira. Amar Rabba Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Makom Yesh Bahara Bayit U'Bira Shemo. There's a place on Hara Bayit, and that place is called Bira. Yesh Lakish Amar Kol Abayit Kolo Havi Bira. The whole Temple Mount is called Bira. The point is, you bring it back to Jerusalem, to a specific place, or area, called Bira, Me'atzeh Ma'aracha, and you burn it. And the Hadush of the Mishnah is, you can use the wood of the Mizbeach, in order to burn basar kodesh. That became basur. Because you might have thought, what do you mean, this ba'atzeh ma'arakah is designated for korbanot, it's kodesh. How can you use it now for personal use? So the hadushes know that when they designate the wood of the mizbeah for korbanot, they make a condition at that time that it's also to be used for basar kodesh that became basur. Now, the hadush here also is, you can only use atzeh ma'arakah if you decide to burn it at the birah. But you don't have to burn that Tamidah. It has to be burnt in Jerusalem. The Hiddush is if you burn it somewhere else in Jerusalem, then you have to use your own wood. But if you decide to go to Arabayit, then already you get to use the wood of the Maracha. Okay. Ve'ad kama in chuzrin. So now we go back to ask the question. Two cases we had in the Mishnah. You remember that you have Hametz in your possession, or you remember that now you left Jerusalem and you have Basar Kodesh. So in certain cases we say, you got to go back. How much Hametz are we talking about, and how much Basar Kodesh? So the Gemara says, which means, the shoot is a kabetza. Meaning if you have less than a kabetza of Hametz, less, just make bitul automatically. Don't worry about it. You never have to go back. Or if you have less than a kabetza of Basar Kodesh, burn it wherever you are. When did we tell you to go back? If you have a significant shiur. Kabetza of Hametz in your house, kabetza of Korban. Rabbi Yehuda omer, zeh vazeh bechazayit. Rabbi Yehuda argues, no, less the shiur. Both the shiurim go back is for a kezayit. Of Hametz, kezayit basar kodesh. Hachamim omrim, basar kodesh bechazayit, bachametz bechabetza. Hachamim make a haduk. Basar kodesh, you go back for a kezayit. Hametz, you go back for a kabetza. Again, the Gemara will analyze all these opinions. Comes the Gemara now and asks, we learned in our Mishnah that if a person is traveling to Seudat Irusin, that's considered a Seudat mitzvah, and therefore, if he cannot do both mitzvot, meaning dispose of his chametz and do the Seudat Irusin, he can continue on the Seudat Irusin, and he just makes bitur. So comes the Gemara and says, Urminu, ha'olech lechol Seudat Irusin bebet chamiv. A person is going to have the Seudat Terusin by his father-in-law. With his board, Shevita Tereshut, or for that matter, to make a Shevita and Eruv, a voluntary Eruv, because he wants to extend his borders, Yahazor Miyad. Here it is, he's got to go back immediately, meaning it's putting Seudat Terusin as a voluntary item, whereas Al-Mishnah put it as a mandatory, a mitzvah item. Amar Rabbi Yohanan Lakashya, Harabi Yehuda, Harabi Yosef. Tzmach look at the name. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef, Netanya, because we have a braita. Seudat Irusin, Reshut. Devrei Rabbi Yehuda. They clearly have an opinion now. Rabbi Yehuda has the opinion that says Seudat Irusin is really a Reshut. Therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you got to go back immediately. Rabbi Yosef Omer Mitzvah. But Rabbi Yosef said Mitzvah. So at the first answer of the given, I want to say that the Hanukkah is going to be who you're going like. Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Yosef. Comes the given, says the Hash, then Amar of Hazda. But now that Hazda told us, Machloket b'Seudat Shiniya. When they used to make Seudat Irusin, there were two Seudot. Once they got, we'll call it engaged Irusin, they made a Seudat immediately. Then the Chatan would send gifts and different presents to the Kala, and when the gifts would arrive, they would go back and they would make a second Seudat. So everybody agrees the first Seudat is Seudat Mitzvah. The question is the second Seudat of the feast of the gifts, is that a mitzvah or not? So Rav Chazda said, that's the machlok between Rabbi Yehuda and Rav Chazda. Aba b'seudah rishonah devra kol mitzvah. So therefore, once you're telling me that the machlok of Rabbi Yehuda and Rav Chazda is only by the second seudah, we could answer the Mishnah and the Braita's contradiction the following way. Afilu tema'a b'ha Rabbi Yehuda. I can say both statements are Rabbi Yehuda. V'ra kasha, ha b'seudah rishonah, ha b'seudah shiniyah. I can say that the Mishnah that said you go, that you continue on your way to do the mitzvah, that's Seudat Irusin, the first Seudah. The Braita that says return immediately, that's Seudah Shiniyah. And that's one opinion. That's the opinion of the Biyudah. So it's much better. Instead of having to make a Kailuk, a Biyudah, a Biyoseh, you can keep it one opinion. Tana, we have a Tanya, we have a Braita. I'm a Biyudah. The Biyudah said, Ani lo shamati ela seudat irusin. This is a proof that the Biyudah holds that the first seudah is a mitzvah and the second seudah is not. He says, I only heard that the first seudah irusin is a mitzvah, aval lo sivlonot, but not the seudah that they send the gifts to. Sivlonot is gifts. So therefore you see clearly the Biyudah's opinion is seudah shiniyah is not a mitzvah. Amar lo Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yosef said, Ani shamati seudat irusin v'sivlonot. He said, no, I heard both. The machlok in the Biyudah and the Biyoseh is only by the second seudah, not the first Tanya. We have a braita. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kol Se'uda, She'ena Shel Mitzvah, any Se'uda that's not a Mitzvah, and Talmid Chacham Rashay Lehanot Memena. A Talmid Chacham should not partake in such a Se'uda. Kegon Nai, so the Gemara says, give me an example of a Se'uda that's not Mitzvah, because obviously it's trying to tell me a Chidush. Wait a minute, I know what a Seudah that's not a Mitzvah. Regular Seudah. No, it's not coming to tell me that. It's coming to tell you a Seudah that could be, you might think is a Mitzvah, but the Gemara is telling you it's not a Mitzvah, and therefore the Hakami should not partake. What's the case? So the Gemara says like this. The case is talking, I'm out of your eye, Kigon Bat Kohen the Yisrael. Wow. A daughter of a Kohen that marries the Yisrael, this Se'udah is not considered Se'udat Mitzvah. That wedding is not considered Se'udat Mitzvah. Ubat Tamid Hakam Na'amaris. Or the daughter of a Tamid Hakam that marries an Amaris, that's also not considered a Se'udat Mitzvah. The Amar of Yohanan, because of Yohanan said, Bat Kohen the Yisrael. If a Yisrael marries the daughter of a Kohen, and Zivugan Ola Yafeh, the marriage will not be a good marriage. It will not be a good Shidduch. Ma'i, what do you mean? What does this mean? Amar of Hazda, or Almana, or she will become a widow, or Girusha, or they'll get divorced, or Zera Enla, or they won't have children. And Rashi says, they learn it from Pesukim, because the Pesuk says in Vayikra, Ubat Kohen ki tiye le'ish zar. And the daughter of a Kohen that will marry a zar, meaning a Yisrael. The next Pesuk says, Ubat Kohen ki tiye Almana, or Girusha, or Zera Enla. So therefore, you see, Hazalom, this is not a good zivug. In the bright, that says, Kovra, either he will bury her, or Kovrato, or she will bury him, or she will bring him to poverty. Ini, the Gemara is a contradiction. Veha, Amar of Yohanan, Haroseh, Yit Asher. If a person wants to become wealthy, what should he do? Yitzvak, Mizrach, Hoshel Aharon. He should attach himself to the Zera Baron. Means that Yisrael should marry a Kohenet. She's from the lineage of Aaron to become rich. How did he become rich? Because the Kohanim, they used to bring the Ketoret. Right? The Ketoret, it says, is Ma'ashir. And therefore, if you attach yourself to the family of the Kohanim, it brings wealth. Which is all the more so to Tamih Hakam. Not only a regular guy marries a Kohen, but if a Tamid Chacham marries a Kohenet, or the most so it'll be Osher. So the Gemara says, Lakasha, ha b'Tamid Chacham, ha b'Amaris. Yeah, the Gemara, that is the Chiduk. The Gemara says, if a Tamid Chacham marries a Bat Kohen, Beracha. Why? Because it's Kavod for Aaron a Kohen, that a Tamid Chacham is, joining the family. However, if Amaharis, Israel, marries a Kohenet, then already it's a disgrace to Aaron, that such a guy is marrying into the family, therefore, Chas v'Shalom, there's punishment. Now, if it's a Kohen Amaharis, doesn't matter, he's a Kohen already. So therefore, he's in the family, and that doesn't do anything. So he's talking about a non-Kohen. Comes again what Aaron says. The Samach just brings down Haba Amaris, Shezeh Kemo Halal, Nizarosh Laharon. Tamaris is indeed a Halal when it comes to the family of Aharon. Comes the Gemara and says, Rabbi Yoshua, Nasif Kanta. Rabbi Yoshua married a Kohenet. Halash, he got sick. Amar lo niha le Aharon de idbak bezarae. Says it's not good. Aharon is not happy that I attached myself to his lineage. Davile hatana ki ana, that he has a son-in-law like me. This is Rabbi Yoshua, the great Tamid Chacham. He felt he wasn't worthy. See, that's why he got sick. Rabbi Bar Avin nasib kanta. Rabbi Bar Avin married a Kohenet. Nafkumine tre benes miche. He had two sons that were ordained as rabbis. Rav Sheshat bered Ravide, Rav Yoshua bered Ravide. Which means he had beracha. Amar la papa. The papa said, Ilon nasivna kahanta, if I would not have married a kohenet, lo ehtare, I would not have become wealthy. So he gave his tribute, his wealth, to his wife who was a kohenet. Amar Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana, who incidentally was not a kohen. This Kahana shouldn't be mistaken. His name was Kahana, but he was not a kohen. Ilon nasivna kahanta. He says, if I didn't marry a kohenet, lo galai, I wouldn't have been sent into galut. Rav Kahana was sent from Eretz Israel into a self-imposed exile to Babel. Why? The Gemara Bava Kama tells a story where there was a Mossad in the town. That was somebody that was getting the Jews in trouble, you know, with the government. So Rav Kahana went and killed him. Because that's the deen, you have to kill a Mossad. So he killed him. But that got him in trouble with the government. So therefore he had to run away. So he says, all this happened to me, my lot, that I had to run away, because I married a kohenet, and this is the which means even though, let's say, it was a mitzvah that he did, but still, for the Zer of Aaron, it wasn't, let's say, you know, befitting, whatever it is. So the Gemara says, so you have to be sent to Galut. Amru le, ve'alem kom Torah galita. What do you mean? You went to Babel. Babel's a kom Torah. What's so bad about going to Babel? Says, lo galai kedigale inche. I didn't go to Galut like regular people go to Galut. What does she say on that? She says, she'al tamidim yotzin d'atan. These regular people, they go to Galut. They go themselves to the yeshiva. Ve'ani yatzati al korchei mahmat nerdin ve'emat malchut. I left because of fear of the government. I escaped. And therefore, I didn't go willingly. And therefore, even though I went to say Makom Torah, but it was a different way of leaving. I didn't leave willingly. I left because of fear of the government. Comes the Gemara and says, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Yitzchak, Kol ha-nehneh m'seudat ha-reshut, anybody that benefits from a seudah, that's reshut, that's not mandatory, a regular seudah, voluntary, le'sof goleh, eventually he will go into exile. Sh'ne'emar, the Gemara quotes a pasuk, this pasuk is in Amos, ve'ochlin karim mison va'agalim mitoch marbek, says those people that eat sawn, fattened sheep, and they eat, you know, fattened meat over there, and Agalim is calves. Lachen, what does the end of the pasuk say? Ata yiglu berosh golim. They are going to be exiled at the beginning, at the head of all the exilees. Tanu Rabbanan, kol tamid hakam rabbeis ronato bechol makom. Any tamid hakam that has eats in every place, he gets accustomed to a lifestyle of enjoying and eating, and he's always going after his pleasures of eating in all these places. That she says, although I'm sorry, that those four to explain, Perushe ochel and kol adana mazmino. Anybody that invites him, he goes and eats with him. He sits with Amei Haaretz as well. So the Gemara says, what does this guy end up doing to himself? Sof mahariv et beto. He ends up destroying his house. Umealmen et ishto, and he causes his wife to become a widower. That she says she becomes a widower alive, because since he gets used to eating fancy foods and a rich lifestyle, he doesn't have the money. So what does he have to do? He has to travel far away in order to make money to support the lifestyle, because he's enjoying this life. And now what? His wife becomes a widow with a husband alive. She's like a widow. And he causes his children to become orphans. Because again, the father's not around. And what? He forgets his learning. Because since he's so busy eating and going after his life, he doesn't have time to review his learning, as she says. And if he forgets his learning. And now a lot of machloket, a lot of strife comes to him. Why? Because he forgets his halachot, now he quotes the halacha, he's wrong, now all the other rabbis start to argue with him, and now already he gets involved in controversy. Or, as he says, he's asking for credit to the storekeepers, and he doesn't pay his bills, and therefore, they come after him, therefore there's machloket with him. udbarav enam nishmaim. And now he loses his credibility. People stop listening to him. He loses his effectivity. Umehalel shem shamayim. He disgraces the name of God. This is Tamil Chagam. V'shem Rabbo and his rabbi. V'shem Aviv. And he disgraces his father's family. V'gorem shem ra'lo ulbanav ulbene banav atzof kol hadorot. And he brings a bad reputation to him, to his children, to his grandchildren, to the rest of time. Why? Mayhi. Amar Abaye. Karu le. You know what they call his children? Bar Mahim Tanure. This is the son of the guy that's always heating the ovens. See, this is, his father was the guy who used to eat all the time. This guy was he was addicted to food. And therefore, the guy that always heats the ovens. Rabba Amar, Bar Merkid Bechube. The son of the guy that dances in the bars. In the olden days, used to have the clowns, or the lits, would dance in the bar, and, you know, make some jokes and stuff like that, in order that the patrons would give him something to drink. This guy's the same thing. He's like the son of the dancer in the saloon. The papa Amar Bar Malchich bin Ke. They call his son the son of the guy that used to lick the plates. He's such a glutton, he would lick the plates clean. Rav Shemaya Amar Bar Mach Rabak. The one that folds up his clothes and crouches. Mach is folds up, Rabai crouches, which means a person that drinks, for example, a drunkard, he sleeps anywhere. What does he do? In the middle of the street, he lifts his clothes up, and he just falls down the middle of the street. The same guy over here. This guy goes after his gluttonous behavior, so he just sleeps in the streets and on his clothes. Now, the Mefashim explained, what does it mean, Sof Mahariv et Beto, that he destroys his house? Since he gets accustomed to not only food, but getting accustomed to any of the pleasures of life, that's why he do both, to learn Torah and go after wealth, right? Instead of spending the time with his children, he spends his time on his yetzer ala, his pleasures, and what's going to happen? His house becomes destroyed. He neglects his house. Comes the Gemara and continues. Taru Rabbanan. Le'olam yimkor adam kol ma sheyeshlo. A person should sell everything he has, v'yisa bat talmid hakam. In order, he should marry a daughter of a talmid hakam. Why? She'im met ogole. Because Chazal Shalom, even if the guy dies, or he's sent into exile, Muftach lo shebanav tamid hachamim. He knows his children will become tamid hachamim. Because since his wife is the daughter of a tamid hacham, she was brought up in a certain atmosphere. So she's going to give the children the education that she saw in her father's house. So therefore, you're almost guaranteed that your children become tamid hachamim because you're married by tamid hacham. Now you're ensuring the children's success. But don't marry the daughter of an Amaris. Because if the husband dies or goes into exile, banav Amaris. The children are going to grow up to be Amaris, and she only knows what she saw in her parents' house. Tanu Rabbanan. Le'olam yimkor adam kol ma sheyeshlo v'yisa batamid hacham. A person should sell everything he has in order to marry a daughter of a tamid hacham. V'yasid bito letamid hacham. And you should try to marry your daughter to a Tamid Hakam. Mashal. Now can you give a mashal? Le'envei ha'gefen. Which means when you take, let's say, the grapes of a certain vine, and you mix them with the grapes of a different vine, davar na'e. It's a nice thing, umet kabel. Which means when you take a family of Tamid Hakamim, right? And you take the daughter of a Tamid Hakam, let's say, and you marry it to a Tamid Hakam, so now already both sides are like fine grape. And therefore, when you mix the two grapes together, you have a superior product. Therefore, it's called Einve Agifin, Einve Agifin. You take the grapes of one, like the fine grapes of the other, and you put them together. V'lo yisab bat amaris. But don't marry the daughter of an amaris. Mashal, because you know what the mashal of that is? Well, as you have somebody good, marries the daughter of an amaris, mashal li'einve agifin, bi'einve hasneh. You take in the good grapes with the and there with the berries of a thorn bush. Davar cha'ur. It's something that is abominable, ve'eno mitkabel, and obviously not accepted. Comes the Gemara and continues. Mitkabel meaning that she says l'shomayim. Meaning when people hear it, they accept it. And they're given, and they're given. These are two good things. And they're given, and that's name. It's unacceptable. I think. Tanu Rabbanan. Le'olam yimkor adam kol ma sheyeshlo. Again, a prince should sell everything he has. V'yisa bat talmid hakam. He should marry the daughter of a talmid hakam. Lo matza bat talmid hakam. He didn't find the daughter of a talmid hakam. What's the next step? Yisa bat gedolei ador. What does Gedol Ador mean, as she says? Anshe ma'asim v'sadikim. I marry people of good deeds and of righteousness. Their daughter. Lo matza bat Gedol Ador. You couldn't find that. Yisa bat l'ashe k'nesiyot. L'ashe k'nesiyot would be like the head of the head of the community or the head of the congregation. Lo matza bat l'ashe k'nesiyot. So marry the ones that are in charge of the tzedakah. Because usually they appoint people that are trustworthy and honest to collect the tzedakah. So you have at least an integrity. She couldn't even find the daughter of a gabay tzedakah. Marry the daughter of a teacher that teaches the children. So that's already a bat melamed tinokot. Velo yisab bat ame ha'aris. But whatever you do, don't marry the daughter of an Amaris. Why? Mipne shehen shekets. Because the Amaris himself is a sheket. Sheket is vermin, they call it. Okay. Poison. Vineshotehem sheretz. And the wife of the Amaris, she's a sheretz. She's a creature. That's an insect. Vavinotehem omer. And the daughter of an Amaris, what does it say? Arur shochev im kol behema. Cursed is the person that cohabitates with an animal. Now she says, Nishotehem sheretz. Why the wife of an Amaris is sheretz? Shenam zirot the mitzvot. Because they don't follow the mitzvot. Im kol behema, shedomot le behema, she'em lehem lev la'avin. Because they're like animals. Jeez, they don't have a heart to think. Jeez, they don't think about their olam haba, they're like animals. They just go do whatever they want, and therefore it's like sleeping with a behemoth. So obviously, the Amaris is talking about somebody that does not observe the mitzvot. He's not talking about some level of intellect. It's for two people over here that are careless and they do not fulfill the mitzvot according to the way they're supposed to. Right, and some opinions even say they're doing it. They're doing it. They could be, they know the mitzvot, and they're just doing it on purpose, meaning they're not interested. Comes the Gemara and says, Tanya, Rabbi Omer, Amaris asur lechol basar. And Amaris is not allowed to eat meat. Shere Emar, Vezot Torah tabehema ve'aof. This is the Torah of the animals and the poultry. כל העוסק בתורה מותר לאכול בשר, בהמה ועוף. וכל שאין עוסק בתורה, אסור לאכול בשר, בהמה ועוף. Now, what's the logic of here? So there's different interpretations. Some say, Amaharis can't eat basar because he doesn't know the halakhot. To eat basar, you need to know the laws of shechita, you need to know the laws of meliha, etc., in order to prepare the meat. Since the Amaharis is not fluent, he should not be allowed to eat meat because his meat is not going to be kasher. Others interpret and say the following. What's the whole reason why we're allowed to eat meat? After all, you're killing an animal. Explanation is because human beings are above the animals. But an Amaris that doesn't follow the Torah, so he is equal to an animal. So therefore, he has no right to go slaughter an animal for his own pleasure. So therefore, Amaharit Asudu Lechol Basar. According to the Mekubalim, they would explain this Gemara and say that since Neshamot usually find themselves in Basar, and therefore, when you eat Basar, you have to make a certain Kavanah in order to extract those Neshamot that came back into Basar. So an Amaharis who doesn't eat with the proper berachot and the proper kavanot, he shouldn't eat basar, because he will not be able to make the tikkun in the meat itself. Amar Rabbi Elazar, an Amaharis, mutal de noharo beyom kippurim shehal yod b'shabbat. It's permissible, the noharo, how would they explain the word noharo? To club him, to stab him. Good. You could stab an Amaharis on Kippur that fell out on Shabbat. Stabbed him to death. Amru lo talmidav. So the students came along and said, Rabbi, emol shachato. And what if they stabbed him? Say at least shachato to make shaitan and to slaughter him. Amal him, no. Ze ta'un beracha ve ze eno ta'un beracha. No, shaita, at least sometimes you make a beracha in the shaita when you slaughter an animal. Stabbing, you never make a beracha. I mean, you kill him in the worst way. Why? Because it seems it's Amaharis. Also, is like a moser. And he has the... What does he say it? Yeah, the stabbing. As a metaphor for embarrassing. Uh-huh. So if someone learned that you embarrass him. When one stabs the person, blood flows from him. Similarly, when one embarrasses another, blood drains from his face. And it's permissible in certain situations to embarrass him. But that's difficult to say, because why would they say on Kippur, Shahadu B'Shabbat? I mean, why would they pick that day more than any other day? Again, other Mefashim learn that he says over here, Kegon Chaya Ratz Achar Hazachur O Achad Naharam Neurasab Yom Kippurim, which means, let's say you see him committing one of his sins. He's running after a girl to commit a sin, or he's running after somebody who's capable of killing. So therefore, Mutal Latzilo B'Nafsho. So therefore, you're allowed to kill him. Comes the Gemara and says, comes the Gemara and continues, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amaharis Asur Lehitlavot Imo Baderich. You cannot walk alone with an Amaharis on the road. Why? Shnei Emar Ki Hi Hayecha Ve'Orechemecha. Regarding Torah, what is Torah considered? Torah is our life Ve'Orechemecha, and the length of our days. Al Hayav Lochaf. This guy doesn't learn Torah, and therefore he has no mercy on his own life. Al Hayecha Ve'Rolo Kol Sheken. You think he's going to have mercy on his friend? Therefore, the Gemara is telling us an Amaharis is dangerous. He's capable of killing. What's the proof? He doesn't care about his own life. He's suicidal because he doesn't study Torah, which is life. So therefore, you think he cares about somebody else's life? Therefore, you shouldn't be alone with him. Abba Rabbi Shmuel Banachmani Amar Rabbi Yohanan Amaharis Mutar Likor'o Kadag. You can rip the Amaharis, you can tear him up like a fish. Amar Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yitzhak Omegabo. Make sure you tear him up from the back, because a fish, when you rip up the skin from the back, even though it still flappers around a little, can never live. And then when they tell you kill him in a way, rip him up, but he will not be able to live. That's the opinion of the Hakamim against. That's, he says over the Meiri, kilomat ap b'mitam menuvelet. Meaning even if it's a gruesome death that you're giving the Amaharis, give it to him. Comes the Gemara and says, Tanya Amar Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says, Kishayiti Amaharis. Rabbi Akiva reminisces. He says, before I learned Torah when I was Amaharis, Amarti, Mi yiten li tamid hakam. Let a tamid hakam come in front of me, ve'anashchenu kahamor. And I would bite him like a donkey bites. Amru lo tamidav Rabbi, emor kakelev. What do you have to say to the donkey? Say, you bite him like a dog. Amar lahem, zeno shek v'shover etzem. The dog, when it bites, it's a superficial bite. It just bites the flesh. When the donkey bites, it bites the bone. Therefore, you say that's the hatred that he had for Tamidi Hakamim. Tanya, Hayar Bimeir Omer, Kol ha-Masi bitol ha-Ama'aris. If a person marries his daughter to an Ama'aris, ki'ilu kofta u-maniha lefne ari. It's like you tied her up and you put it in front of a lion. Ma'ari dores ve'ochel, just like the lion pounces and eats, ve'en lo boshet panim, he has no shame. Af ama'aris makeh, he hits, u-bo'el, and then he has relations, ve'en lo boshet panim, and he has no shame. Tosfot explains that the lion eats its victims alive. So to the ama'aris, he doesn't have any shame, so he has relations with his wife even before he appeases her. And therefore he does it by force. And therefore it's like tying your daughter up and giving her to a lion. Tanya, the Biri Ezer Omer, Ilmale anu tzirichim lahem lemasau matan. If they didn't need us to transact in business, hayu horgin otanu. Which means the Amei Haaretz hate the Talmidei Chachamim so much, well, the only reason why they don't kill us is because they need us for business. They need us for transacting. But if they didn't need us for that, they already would kill the Talmidei Chachamim. So you see the hatred between the Amei Haaretz and the Talmidei Chachamim. Tana Rabbi Haya, kol ha'osek b'Torah lefnei Amei Haaretz. Anybody that studies Torah or teaches Torah in front of an Amei Haaretz, ki'ilu bo'el arusato befanav. It's as if you are cohabitating with his betrothed, with the Amaris' betrothed wife in front of him, which means it's an embarrassment. Shne'emar, Torah sivadaru Moshe morasha. Torah is called a morasha. Al tekre morasha, ela me'orasa. So they read the word me'orasa as if we are betrothed to the Torah. She's as if the Torah is our wife, so to speak. So therefore, when you teach it in front of an Amaris, you're embarrassing the Torah. And if it's as if just like you embarrass the Amar, you would be with his betrothed wife, it's an embarrassment to him. Teaching the Torah, which is our Norasa, you're causing an embarrassment to teach in front of a Amar. Furthermore, the Meiri says over here, Kedomar, the Torah also should have been the Arusa of the Amaret. I mean, the Torah was not only given to the Talmidei Chachamim. Norasa, meaning it's his also. Shneimar Morasha Kilat Yaakov. Ma ze Kila? Rotze lomar, Hehamon. However, Atikle Morasha Ela Morasa Kilomar, She Arusa Shel Amaret. Gamken, Ela Shelo Nechnesa Emo Lechupa. The only difference is, he didn't consummate the marriage. And then, which means there's another stage. And therefore the Amaharis remains in the Norasa state. Therefore, when you're teaching an Amaharis, it's like you're only at the Irushin stage because you did not make a bond yet with the Torah. Kavzi Gavran says, Gedola sin'ah shesun'im Amaharis the Tamid Hakam. The hatred that the Amaharis has for the Tamid Hakam is greater. Yotem sin'ah shesun'im ovdeko chavim et Yisrael. It's bigger than the hatred that the Goyim have. Israel. A Jew, Canadian Jew, even more than the Goy hates the Jew. But who's that Amaris? V'noshotehem yoter lehem. And the wife of an Amaris hates the Tamid Hakam worse, even more. And the explanation is because they have a resentment, which means the Amaris sees the life of a Tamid Hakam, he sees how happy he is. He sees how observant, how he's able to conduct himself properly, and the Amaris knows that he can't. And therefore, the Amaris, what? He has to resent. He's jealous of the Tamid Hakam. Therefore, how does that resentment come out? He hates the Tamid Hakam. Now, the wives are even worse, because the wives don't want the Tamid Hakam to impact their husbands. Because if their husbands change, what's going to happen? The husband's going to end up coming to change the wives. So therefore, the wives hate the Tamid Hakam worse because they're threatened that their lives might have to change as a result of the Tamid Hakam's teachings. Tana, Shana u'pireh yoter mekulan. The worst guy, the guy that went to yeshiva and studied, Shana u'pireh, and then he went off the path. He hates the Tamid Hakamim worse. Why? Because in yeshiva, what did they teach him? How bad the Amaris is. And therefore, this guy knows the real sentiment that we have towards him. So therefore, Shanao Pidesh, the guy that learned and then went off the path and became an Amaharis. So you see, obviously, Amaharis in this context does not mean somebody doesn't have knowledge. Amaharis in this context is somebody that brazenly goes against the mitzvot and does not follow halakha. That's called because this guy learned. So why does he hate the halakha even worse? Because he knows what we think about him. Six things were said regarding an Amaharis. In Muslim Nahin Aidut, you do not give them information to testify. That she says, in Mizaminimo to the Shwa Dabarai, you don't invite them to come and give testimony or be a witness in a case. Nor do you accept testimony from them. I guess if they come alone, you also do not accept testimony because they're suspicious to lie. You do not tell them secrets. Because an Amaharis cannot keep a secret, it's gonna get out. You do not make them the apotropos, the executor of the will for orphans. Why? The executor of the will. Why? Because they're gonna steal the money. Nor do you make Amaharis the executor of the charity. Why? They'll steal the money. And you do not walk with them alone on the road, like we said, because they're capable of killing. And some want to say, even if you find the lost object of an Amaharis, you don't announce it. Because the Torah says you only have to give back the Avedat Achicha. Kol Avedat Achicha. He's not considered your brother. So the Mefarshim ask, how do you know the lost object belongs to an Amaharis? When you find an object, when you look at the object, can you tell who dropped it? So the Mefarshim explained, it's talking about, the sport says this, let's say you have a caravan of Amei Ha'aretz, right? They're traveling. And something falls off the caravan. So you know it definitely came from one of these Amei Ha'aretz. So the Hadus is, you can keep it. You do not have to make a Shabbat Avedah. And Tanakama, so why did Tanakama list this case then? Tanakama listed only six things. How come he didn't list the seventh item that you don't have to announce his lost object? Zimnin dinafik minir zara'am me'aliyah. Because maybe the Amaharis, he'll have a child that will be proper, produce a proper descendant, ve'achile, and the child will benefit from it. So therefore the Hakamim say, you know what, give him back his lost object. Because maybe it'll end up in the hands of somebody worthy. Shere emar, yachim ve'tzadik yildash. She's the Rasha prepares the money or the clothes, and who wears it? The Tzaddik. So therefore, give it to the Amaharis, and maybe it'll end up in the hands of one of his children that will be a Tzaddik. Let's just read the Rashi's over here, and we'll conclude. Rashi will start from Shanao Pidesh. Talmid Sheshana, a student that studied Torah, Upiresh Mina Torah, V'yodeyach kamma tamidei hakamim meganin et Amaharis. You know how much the hakamim hate the Amaharis and make fun of him? Not make fun of him, but they treat him, they disparage him. They come and shifirim behind him, and how low they are in their eyes. So he hates the hakam the most. You don't invite them to come and give testimony. You don't tell them secrets. Anything that's private. Why? Because he's a talebearer. He'll go around and start telling everybody the news. You cannot make him the executor of the orphan's money. Shahashul al-Gezer. Hamotzi avedah hayav la'akriz kadamim me'elu metziyot va'ama'aris la'bahichahu. The Amaharis is considered your brother. Te'enu osem ma'ase amecha. Because he does not follow the laws of the nation. And therefore, we have a machlok, and if you have to return his lost object. Baruch Adonai la'olam. Amen.